Well, it is great to be together. It's been fun to be able to see everybody. We've really missed our PBC family, and thanks to Tom, and thanks to Sally, and all of those who worked to put this together. Really appreciate that. And thank you, Daniel, for leading us in worship. That's been awesome. Well, Lori and I have been traveling around the country in our little rented vehicle stocked with food, just the wife and I. And we'll drive for a little while and then look for a cheap hotel. It's been really a treat for me to be able to kind of listen in on, and Lori's been doing counseling on the road. And so I get to listen to her wisdom as we're driving along. She lets people know that I'm listening in, although I can hear what she says, but not what they're saying. And then when we get to these hotels, I'll be spending some time writing and keeping in touch with folks myself. So it's been a real interesting journey. And the attitude of people has really been changing as we've gone across the country. When we started out in Scottsdale, people were partying in the streets. And now you can really feel things tightening up a lot the further east we travel. You've seen people not going out on the in the restaurants and stuff, and so we anticipate being back Monday or Tuesday, and we'll be glad to be home. But what I'd like to do this morning is I'm not going to try to preach a full sermon. I've heard from other people that that's difficult to do online. I can see why. There's so many distractions. But I'd like to just bring up some of God's word, and then I'd like to get to the point quickly. And this message is going to revolve all around Peter and his unwillingness to identify with Christ. And so if you think about that word identify and identifying with Christ, then you're going to really catch where we're going this morning. So grab that Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to start with verse 69. So Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 69. Now, by the way, you may know that this is the time of Lent. Remember how we talked about that a few weeks ago? And it's interesting that we are in something of a forced time of solitude now, which is really kind of what Lent is all about, a time for reflection, a time to be spending more time just thinking about your relationship with God. And so we're probably right where we need to be in terms of being able to see Christ a little more clearly. So we are in the book of Matthew. We've been going through that. I know that Tom preached on Caiaphas last week. And where we were in Matthew is we're in the last few hours of Christ's life. We saw last week with Tom that we were before Caiaphas, and Jesus was being tried before the whole Jewish council. And the scene is going to shift this week to from being inside the palace. Now, you kind of have to imagine that Caiaphas was, as the high priest, had a palace. It was not on the Temple Mount. It was just outside the Temple Mount, but it was still inside Jerusalem, right next to the temple. That's probably the best way of looking at it. And he had a nice palace there. And as every palace had back in those days, they had a kind of an inner place where all the rooms were, and then they had a big courtyard outside surrounded by a wall, and there was a front gate where everybody had to pass through. And so the scene is going to shift. Last week, as Tom spoke, we were inside of Caiaphas's house. Now this week we're going to be outside in the courtyard, and the focus is not just going to be on Jesus, it's going to be on Peter and his unwillingness to identify with Christ. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to put together the facts from all four Gospels. And this is how the story went down if we put together all four Gospels. At the door, at that front gate of Caiaphas's home, where the courtyard was, there was a door, there was a front gate, and there was a girl there. And it was her job to let people in or not let them in. And the crowd of people were coming in. A lot of people wanted to see what was going to happen to Jesus. And some of Jesus's disciples were in that crowd. We normally think when we read the passage we're going to read that Peter was the only one there in the courtyard. But that's not true, because we can actually go to the book of John and we see that some other disciple, doesn't say who, but we suspect it was John himself, said, and if you go to John chapter 18, verse 16, it says this: "But Peter stood outside the door," meaning outside that front gate to the courtyard. "Peter stood outside the door. Then the disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in." So again, it's interesting. We don't know who that person is. We suspect it was John. And John doesn't seem to be concerned about himself. It's interesting. We don't know how he knew the high priest or why, but he's able to bring Peter in, and he's kind of going on about his business, and which really makes what's about to happen even more pointless, because Peter, we'll see, was freaking out, and he didn't need to be. So look at, again, Matthew 26, and starting in verse 69, it says this: "Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, 'You two were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I don't know what you're talking about.'" Now, we know from Luke that it was evidently a cold night, because many were sitting around a fire warming themselves. He probably had a fire pit out there in the courtyard. And so you can imagine a lot of people pressed together around that. And I don't believe that Peter went into that courtyard with the intention of denying Christ. I think he was there trying to blend in. If we try to put ourselves in Peter's shoes, we probably would say he was trying to follow Christ in his own way, being covert, and this little girl was blowing his cover. And I think of how much like us that is. Instead of making our faith public and identifying with Christ in our church, we decide we're going to follow Christ kind of in our own way, and we're going to go the private route. And we think to ourselves, maybe, well, I'll probably be able to get in places that I wouldn't get in if I let everybody know I was a Christian. Or I'll just keep my faith more private, or I can influence people once I get on the inside. See, there's a lot of reasons why we refuse to identify with Christ, and none of them are really good. Anytime we're having to be sneaky about our faith, usually it doesn't end well. It ended with Peter here with a lie and really denying Christ. So he's starting to feel the heat, Peter is. And so he chooses another spot in the courtyard. So he probably leaves the fire, and it seems like he goes closer to the front gate, like almost he's got 1 foot out the door. Look at verse 71. "When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl," so not the same one, "saw him and said to those who were there, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.'" Now, have you ever noticed, and especially I'd like to ask the young people who are sitting in with us, some of the kids, have you ever noticed that one lie leads to another lie, which leads to another lie? And that's what's happening to Peter here. And the second lie is stronger than the first. You really have to try to say it even more convincingly here. The first time, Peter's almost saying, "I think you're mistaken." And this time, he actually speaks very disrespectfully about Jesus. He says, "I don't know that guy." And he adds an oath, like saying, "I swear to God, I don't know that guy." And now we're starting to see something really bad take shape here, because what maybe started out to be just a small little lie is getting bigger. Now, finally, the whole group of people begin to surround Peter. And this is what happens when, you know, when somebody, and kids, you can know this, if somebody is lying in a classroom and everybody kind of knows they're lying, they all start to pile on. And that's what's going to happen here. Look at verse 73. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives it away." Now, evidently, as scared as Peter was, he didn't stop talking. He's trying to blend in, but at the same time, he can't keep himself from talking. I think if I was trying to blend in, I'd shut up and not say anything, but Peter can't help himself. And so as he's talking, his accent, you know, we've been traveling through Texas, you can pick up a strong Texas accent. And in that same way, the people up north in Galilee had an accent that the people in Jerusalem could pick up here. And what's really fascinating here is somebody else speaks up. And we learn this, again, from the book of John, that the brother of Malchus stands up and says, "You're one of them." Okay, now let's stop here for a minute. The brother of Malchus. Who is Malchus? Let's think about that. If you go back a couple weeks, you remember that while Jesus was being arrested, Peter took out his sword and cut the ear off a guy who was a servant of the high priest, and his name was Malchus. And then what happened was Jesus healed the man. So here we are in the courtyard, and the brother of Malchus says, "Hey, you're one of them." Now, I find it interesting that he didn't say, "Hey, this is the guy that cut my brother's ear off," because everybody would look at Malchus and see his ear was still in place. And then what's Malchus going to say? "Well, I got better," you know, for all of you Monty Python fans. But he couldn't even say that. He knew he couldn't say that he cut my brother's ear off, because he would have also had to say, "Yes, but Jesus healed him as well." And so he just says, yeah, I know you're one of them. So the heat is really getting turned up on Peter. And in verse 74, Peter's lies, this is the third time he's denying Christ, comes to a full head. And it says, then he began to curse and swear and say, "I don't know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. Now, Luke, in his account, adds this dramatic connection between Peter and Jesus. We don't know where Jesus was. I suspect that he may have still been inside the Caiaphas' house. But in some way, whether he was being let out or what, he is able to see Peter. So Jesus and Peter, their eyes lock right as Peter denies Jesus the third time. The rooster crows, Peter denies Christ, the rooster crows, and then all of a sudden they see each other from across the room. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? That shocking connection just blasts Peter out of the stupor of his attempts at being covert. And it says here in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. So where did Peter go wrong? Let's kind of bring this home and think about how this might apply to us. You may have read this passage before, and you may have even thought to yourself, yeah, Peter denied Christ, and I probably do the same thing from time to time. But what does that mean? Let's think about that a little more deeply. What does it mean to deny Christ? Again, Peter had no intention of going in and denying Christ, but he ended up doing it anyway. So we might not be intentionally thinking, yeah, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to deny Christ, but maybe we would be. What if we define denying Christ as an unwillingness to identify with him? I mean, that might help us, because it's not going out and saying, I don't believe in Jesus. It's not going out and saying, you know, I hate Christians or I hate Christ. That's not, I mean, that certainly is denying him, but that's not what happened here. Here it's just a simple failure to identify yourself as a follower of Christ. An example of that might be some friends come up and ask, hey, are you a Christian? And you might say, oh, I go to church because my parents make me go to church. You minimize it, you play it down. Or people say, hey, what do you do on Sunday? And say, oh, I don't know, I just chill with my friends. You know, we're not identifying with Christ for whatever reason, and the reason really doesn't matter. But the point is that we have an opportunity to identify with Christ. We're pressed by other people. Do you know Christ? Are you a Christian? And we fail to make that identification. We try to follow maybe at a distance. Maybe we're pretending not to be a Christian when we're around our friends. And what happens when we do that is that we end up dishonoring, disrespecting, and denying Jesus. In his own way, Peter's denial ended up with angry cursing. And it meant being untruthful and inconsistent. That's not the real heart of Peter. That's not really what Peter wanted to do. And friends, I know that many of us love Jesus. We really love Christ. And it's not our intention to go out and deny him. But we could so quickly fall into the same trap that Peter fell into because we think, well, I don't want to offend anybody. I want to make sure I get in the crowd first and then be accepted by people, and then I'll tell them I'm a Christian. There's lots of ways we could end up doing the same thing that Peter did. Now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for us to now break off into our connect groups, and I'd like to ask some very important questions. I mean, our connect groups have some ripper questions for this week. I'm just going to read some of them to you to kind of whet your appetite to get you excited about going to our connect groups. Some of the questions are like, what are some ways that Christians choose to identify with Christ? So if I'm supposed to identify with Christ, how do I do that? And we're going to talk about everything from bumper stickers to baptism in terms of identifying with Christ. There's lots of ways. Some ways that we identify are maybe effective and some are not so effective. So what are the ways that we identify with Christ? Second question is, do you believe that in the future it's going to get harder and harder to identify with Christ? Or is it going to get easier? Third question, what happens when we live dual lives? When, you know, we try to be spiritual when we're at church, and then when we go to school or work, we put on our secular mask. I'd also like for us in our connect groups to read Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 14, because this is Peter making a bold stand in front of the same people here that he was unwilling to identify with Christ. And you see an incredible change in Peter's life. And I'd like for you to ask the question, why is that? How did Peter go from being one who was not willing to identify with Christ to somebody who was boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's in Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 14. And then one final question that I think is a real important one to ask, and it is this: can I identify with Christ but not with his church? I think a lot of people do that. They think, you know, I like Christ, I love Jesus, but I don't want to identify with the church. There's kind of crazy people and weirdos and hypocrites, so I don't want to be around the church. But I just have this mano a mano, one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. So can you do that? Or is that, in fact, denying Christ as well? And your Connect group leaders also have questions for children and for teens as well. So I think the real meat of what we're going to do this morning is going to end up being in our Connect groups. Well, thank you for letting me come and just share God's word with you this morning. I look forward to seeing you again sometime. But let me pray, and then Tom is going to then dismiss us to our Connect groups. Lord Jesus, you know that we are weak. You know that we are fearful of what other people think of us. And sometimes we tailor ourselves to other people's opinions. We want to be bold. We don't want to be fearful. And when it comes to identifying with you, without hesitation, we want to be able to say, I'm a follower of Christ. When people ask, yes, I am a follower of Christ. I love Jesus. And if you give me a minute, I'll tell you why. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be bold. And help us, Lord, to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have inside us, especially now when the world is in such chaos and when the world is very fearful. May we have not the smell of fear on us, but may we have the aroma of faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.